That's probably one of the most beautiful songs that you've ever written. And you want to know why? Because you let God flow through you, the gift of God flow through you. It's not by skill. It's not by fancy guitars. It's not by any of those things. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. No struggle. It just flows.
I just sat down the other day and it just started flowing. Right in the middle of an attack of the enemy coming against me, it just started flowing out. I've never had anything like that. It's like an angel or something put my hand on the places I was having trouble figuring out a part there. And it was like the angel just put my hand on the fretboard.
So it's not by your effort.
That wasn't me.
It's by the Holy Ghost. Right.
I can't hit notes like that by myself.
Well, anyway, this is to be the norm. Quit struggling. It's to be the norm. Okay. I have the prophet's corner today. It's avoid walking in the flesh or after the flesh. Avoiding walking after the flesh. And this I wrote while I was getting ready. We walk by what the eye has not seen or the ear has heard. Or what has entered into the heart of God. See, those are the things that He has prepared for us. We walk by those things which are not seen, not the things that are seen. People set their phones to remind them to take their meds, to monitor their blood pressure all day and sometimes all night, to monitor their blood sugar. Most miss what Jesus said. Tear down this temple, and I'll raise it in 3 days. It's not about natural works. It's not about walking after the flesh. It's not walking after how skilled you are, how many degrees you have after your name, how many natural talents you have. God's gift. That's why God, Jesse Duplantis is the best example. Here's a rock star, you know, and God doesn't use him in music. Because that wasn't God's plan, that's His plan. He might have had natural abilities and talents. But, you know, if I could stress to anybody, quit looking to your natural abilities and talents to fulfill God's plan for your life, because it probably won't be there. Because He does it, it's an inside supernatural placement of giftings within you that He wants to get you out of the way so He can flow out of you, right? Like a pitcher that's being poured out. That's what we're going to look at today.
What was that title?
Avoid walking after the flesh. And we do it so much, we don't even think about it. Lord gave me some examples. Anyway. I'm not accusing anybody. This ministry is here to get rid of the strongholds in your mind. You know, when you do that, then you can hear God clearly. All right, let's wait on him to, all right. The world system ruled by the God of this world walks by the flesh. The kingdom of God, however, is the walk by the Spirit. Through programming and propaganda, the whole world and most of the church have been infiltrated to walk in the flesh. The gates of hell have prevailed because of it. And for the most part, except for a few pockets of resistance, there is not power in manifestation. The mixture has caused the whole lump to be leveled. You know, I got to think about it. Just think about commercials. What does commercials do? It gets you, well, mainly focus on your self and self-care. Whatever it is, whatever area it's in. Yeah. And the biggest thing God wants us to do is to cast our care on Him, right? Because He says He cares for you. He takes it personal when you're out there struggling, caring for yourself, whenever He has sent Jesus and He's taken it all on His body that you might live a carefree life. Wouldn't that hurt your feelings? To know, I've done all this for my children and they're not tapping into any of it. All right, let's go to Matthew 13. And this is what I feel about, whether it be your music or anything else. If you don't have anything, don't do anything. Don't just make some stuff up. You may fool us, but you're not going to fool God. You understand what I'm saying? You either got it or you ain't got it. They didn't know, well, I don't know. All right. And I'm not getting on anybody. This is about avoiding walking after the flesh. All right. 13:33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So the kingdom of God was supposed to be the one that leveled the world, not the devil. He says the kingdom of God is if a woman took 3 measures of meal and infiltrated all the whole lump. All right, another one. This is Luke 13. It's basically the same scripture. Sounds like the enemy took God's plan and bamboozled us with it. All right, Luke 13:21. Verse 20. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And then he said, and he went through the cities and villages teaching. That's what he came to do. To bring the leaven of the kingdom of heaven to earth. What do we see today? We see the leaven of the God of this world in full display. How will this be undone? By walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will leaven the whole lump. I need the power in the church at this hour. My plan can only be accomplished if my church hears my voice and follows my Spirit. We don't need another program. The God of this world system has blinded the minds of men and women, and this has caused mixture. Mixture equals zero power. Zero. Couldn't blow fuzz off of a peanut. I didn't know peanuts had fuzz, but anyway, where that saying came from. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Some of these things I've read to y'all over and over and over and over again. And I'll quit reading them when we get it, okay? 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, oh, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Sounds like the church. Here's a new prophet on the scene or whatever, and you got everybody saying, well, they're like this. They're like Elijah, or somebody over here saying something else. I mean, it's happening all the time. Somebody new steps up on the scene. Well, they're like this, and they're like that. What about they're just like who God's called them to be? And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He discerned the truth at the right time. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. It's my heart's cry that the church would see the signs of the times and they'd know where we are, where we sit. Now I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not, well, you know, I come into town and we're just going to build us a big old building out there and we're going to fill it up. I think they have the cart before the horse, don't you? Upon this rock, what rock? Peter just had a revelation of the Christ. You can't build any other church on any other foundation other than on the rock, right? Jesus. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A spiritual church. A spiritual house. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This spiritual house will hear from heaven. And what? They'll get the keys for every situation. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We will be the ones that call the shots. We'll lock the devil out and loose the kingdom of God in the situations instead of just the opposite. Think about that. This is a spiritual house we're talking about here. We've already seen what a natural house does. We already see what religious institutions do. They're raping kids in the basement, drinking their blood and eating their flesh and calling it God. All right, let's keep going here. Sound doctrine will end the mixture. Set things in order so that my church can be what I have always meant for them to be. On a personal note, flesh compromises faith. There is a walk by the Spirit and there's a walk by the flesh. All right, we're going to look at Galatians. There's probably nothing I say today that you have not heard, but it may be said in a different way. Like I told you, this is like phonics. You hear it backwards and forwards till it's so ingrained in you, you never forget. You learn it backwards and forwards. Okay, this is Galatians 5. Paul's admonishing the Galatians to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, how do we get entangled with the yoke of bondage? Well, we're going to see at the end of this chapter. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, here we go again with the Jew junk. Somebody's trying to take in the Gentiles and say, you got to be circumcised. They had that settled back in Acts, right? The apostles there in Jerusalem made the call. James stood up and said, now listen to me. This is the way it's going to be. The Jews and the Gentiles. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Think about that. These people that want to go under the law, you don't just do a little bit of the law. You either do it all or you don't do any. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. You're going to walk under the law, you're going to walk under grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Like Father Abraham, father of our faith. He was before the law. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We've been in churches where you talk about leavened. Oh my God. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none other wise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. It just circles. Circle, talk about circle back. We'll just circle back on that. Yeah, that's what it does. It circles back, 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 over and over and over and over and over again to keep the church fighting among themselves and into the, all of this stuff instead of moving forward and obeying the Spirit. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I talked about this morning on the television broadcast. For all the laws fulfilled, and I didn't know I was going to talk about it. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So what is our main thing that we're to focus on? Loving one another. We're all trying to get someone to notice us and all of this. And the Lord spoke to me about a matter this morning. He said, it don't matter what anybody says about you, thinks about you. You are who I have called you to be. And whatever they say won't change that. So you can be secure in who God has called you to be, and no matter what anybody says, who cares? Who are they anyway? God knows who you are. He's made us each unique. We've all been suppressed in our gifts. Oh, we can't let them get any better than us, you know. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. See, that's the way the enemy has infiltrated to get the church and the truth or movement so divided that we're biting and devouring one another and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. The focus is on, well, if they have a revelation, let's bash them. Because they know more than us and we're jealous. Instead of thinking, we're so thankful that God has showed you that to help us further this movement. What's the movement? Take out the evil one. Occupying. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ain't happening. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another in one another. Nobody can replace you in the body of Christ. You have special giftings that only you can fulfill and perform as the Master leads you. Don't let anybody ever push you down or crush you. And I know that as a woman minister, I have had people crush me. Don't you let anybody crush you, not ever. I suggest you disassociate with one that would crush you. Believe what God says about you, nobody else. Because you know what? They didn't call you. They may pray over you and send you out or those kind of things, and that's scriptural. But God is the one that calls and equips. All right. Renewing the mind with my word is essential. It is my will that empowers your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To help you on your journey, or personal faith journey, and be a success will require you to stop reacting to circumstances and acting on my word instead. Isn't that why the enemy does what he does, is to get you to react, to keep you in reaction mode? Because that will keep you from moving forward or doing anything. Wait on me, hear my voice, then you'll always make the right choice. The whole world around you and most of the church live in reaction mode. I want to read this scripture in the Amplified. This is Isaiah 40. I've read it to you several times. Powerful. All All right, 40:31. Well, I'm starting with 28 there. It says here, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those that wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. I remember Joyce Meyer talking about the eagles. She had a teaching on the eagles, how they lay out on a rock in the sun and exchange their strength. And then they mount up. See, that's what God does. He doesn't try to upbraid your feeble strength. He gives you his strength to be able to mount up, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. You know, I thought about old Elijah, you know, he ran for 40 days. Was it 40 days or 40 miles? I don't remember. 40 days. I'm going, wow. God did that. It was supernatural. All right, practice this and it will do the trick. Wait. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Just verse 6 there. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward openly. And he goes on to do the Lord's Prayer here, praying God's will. All right, this will make you a success as you practice this. I told my servant Joshua to meditate on my words so that he would be a success. This is Joshua 1:8. You can imagine the pressure Joshua was under after the failure, you know, with Moses and everything. And he got taken out early and, what you know, he had to wait 40 years. And you can imagine the pressure that was on him, that he didn't want to make a mistake. This is 1:8. He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Loose lips indeed sink ships, and that does not have to be you. Avoid reacting to circumstances, because the cost you will pay will be your faith. It was by faith in the Faith Hall of Fame that the elders obtained a good report. And if you follow their examples, so will you. And I'm just going to read the first three scriptures of Hebrews 11. Because you can go read that yourself on your own time about what each one had to do to obtain their faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What did I start this out with? We walk by what the eye has not seen, or the ear heard, or whatever has been entered into the heart of God. People set their phones to remind them to take their meds, to monitor their blood sugar and blood pressure throughout the day. Even church leaders do not understand when Jesus said he would throw down the temple, that he was talking about the temple of his body. He was talking about a spiritual house and not a natural house. All right. For it is by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The answers to our prayers will appear in the natural realm, but they did not come from there. Who's our source? We hear that a lot thrown around, you know, source. Let's qualify. We're talking about Jehovah. Source, the creator of all things, that made all things. In him we live and move and have our being. This is the one. This is the source of whatever we need right there. All right.